Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. Father, we come before you seeking a blessing this day. We ask, Father, that your Spirit would rest mightily upon us and that you would cause us to receive your implanted word and that it would find and have free course in us, Father, that you would cause us to truly have the life within us as we seek to do your will, Father, and seek your face. Again, we ask that you would forgive us for any sins that we might have committed. And, Father, we ask that you would bless us as we would walk in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, trying to emulate him, trying to do the things that he did. And he told us in his word that we would even do greater things. So help us, Father, as we seek to do your will and do that which is right in your sight. Bless your servants as we are preparing to enter in, not only this renew the covenant, Father, but keep the feast and draw closer to you each and every day, Father. So as we look into your word today, we ask, Father, that you would correct us, that you would guide us, that you would grant us the wisdom that we are seeking. And we thank you again, Father, for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, and for giving us your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior, and soon coming King. And in your name, Father, we continually seek to do your will. We love you and thank you. We ask that all these favors and blessings be granted to us in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be continuing, actually, with the same subject we dealt with last week, which was a higher standard. Almighty Yahweh has called his people to a higher standard of living, which is keeping his covenant, which is to keep all the commandments, his holy Sabbath day, the high Sabbath, and all the others, like his clean food laws and tithing, the first, second, and third tithe as well. We, as Yahweh's people, humbly enter into the covenant. We take the blood of Yahshua seriously and seek a higher standard. We're going to open up in Psalm 51. If you'll take your scriptures in hand, turn with me to Psalm 51. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Here we see David is asking Yahweh to cleanse him from his sin, to wash him thoroughly. And each one of us need to be in that same situation, asking Yahweh to have mercy upon us. "For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." And most of us fall into that category as well. We do know what our sin is. We do know what our shortcomings are. "Against you, you only have I sinned, and done that which is evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge." Yahweh has not sinned. Sin has nothing to do with him. Yahshua the Messiah has not sinned. Sin has nothing to do with him. But we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of Almighty Yahweh. But we're seeking a higher standard. We're seeking to emulate and keep that covenant that we've entered into between us and Almighty Yahweh through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. "Behold," in verse 5, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. David was pleading with Yahweh. And see, this, the superscription at the top, it says, for the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. See, David had sinned against Almighty Yahweh and taken another man's wife, then having the man killed. So David was in a real tough situation with Almighty Yahweh. And this is why he wrote this psalm. He was pleading with Almighty Yahweh not to take his Holy Spirit, not to condemn him. The psalm that we chose to open up, keep your finger in Psalm 51. We read Psalm 130. In Psalm 130, it says in verse 3, if you, Yahweh, should mark iniquities, O Yahweh, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Almighty Yahweh truly has forgiveness with him. He has not judged us according to our sins. If so, we would all be dead men. In verse 11 of Psalm 51, David says, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And if you do these things for me, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. And this is what Yahweh desires. He desires all people, all men, all sinners to be converted to him, to forsake their sin and repent, to teshuva, to turn unto him. Deliver, in verse 14, me, the blood guiltiness, O Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Yahweh, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you delight not in sacrifice, else would I give it. You have no pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O Elohim, you will not despise. He wants to hear the praises of our lips, brethren. He inhabits the praises of Israel. And this is what we have to offer to Almighty Yahweh. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in the sacrifices of righteousness, and burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then will they offer bullocks upon your altar. But we know today we don't offer any bullocks. The offering has been made. The Lamb of Yahweh has been slain. He's died for each and every one of our sins. See, Yahshua was sin free. He didn't sin. He died for the sin of mankind, every one of us. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 to 3. And Elohim said, Yaakov, to Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto El, who appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the foreign Elohim that are among you. He realized that they were still some among him that were worshiping the idols. And he's saying, put away all those foreign Elohim, those foreign idols that are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto El, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And Almighty Yahweh has been with each and every one of us in our journey to where we're going, which is the kingdom of Yahweh. He's helped us along the way. He's given us more knowledge. I don't care whether you started out in the Catholic Church, or you came up in a Methodist church, Pentecostal, or whatever, or wherever you started. But as you're making your trek to the kingdom of Yahweh, you're stopping different places. And hopefully your end is here, but I mean here when I'm speaking of that, I'm speaking of the kingdom of Yahweh, which is what we're preaching. This is what Yahshua told the young scribe. You are not far from the kingdom. When the young scribe answered, in Mark 12, and he told them that Yahweh is one. You know, but he wouldn't use Yahweh's name. See, because of the ban on the name. See, they were still fearing their religious authorities, even as they do today in Israel. A lot of people, you know, who know the name will not use the name for that particular purpose. They don't want to create a problem for themselves. But Yahweh is looking for a people who aren't concerned about the laws or the rudiments of man. As Peter told the high priest when they were told not to teach that name, Yahshua, he says, we must obey Yahweh rather than men. And that's where we are today. We're obeying the word of Yahweh. This is what we need to use to get to that higher standard. We want to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. And for us to do that, we have to take each step. And each step draws us closer to Almighty Yahweh. But we have to enter into covenant. And that covenant is between us and Yahweh through the body and blood of Yahshua the Messiah. That's what partaking of the Passover emblems entail. But you have to come before him with a pure and clean heart. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Salvation of Yahweh. That's what Isaiah means. The salvation of Yahweh. The vision in verse 1 of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yehuda, Judah, and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And that happens with all of us as parents. Our kids rebel. That's just natural. Very seldom do kids not rebel against their parents. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken Yahweh, and they have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backwards. Why will you still be stricken, that you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and fresh stripes. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged, except Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Sivaoth, had left to us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been like Gomorrah. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah from Genesis 13. In verse 10 it says, hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. He's talking about Israel. He's not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 10. He's talking about a people who have entered into the covenant with Moses. Yet, they violated that covenant. And then their children, the same. They violated that covenant. Even though they were taken into the promised land, they violated that covenant. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says Yahweh? I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand? To trample my courts, bring no more vain oblation. It doesn't mean bring no more oblation. It says, bring no more vain oblation. See, a lot of people will use this or go to 1 Corinthians and says, oh, okay, there's no more keeping of the high days or the feast days, because he says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath. The calling of assemblies, you don't have to keep them anymore. That's not what the word says. It doesn't say you don't keep them. He says, bring no more vain oblation. See, when we come before Yahweh, do we come before Yahweh with a humble heart, with a humble attitude? See, because our offering today is not an offering of the blood of bulls or goats. It's the blood of the Lamb, Yahshua the Messiah, who did no sin. This is the greatest offering that can be given. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about how great you think you are. Each one of us must be humbled to come before Almighty Yahweh. He says, I cannot endure iniquity, sin, along with the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. He wasn't talking about his new moons or his feast, he's talking about yours. Because people came before him with that sinful attitude. They came before him thinking about what they were going to do as soon as the sun was down, as soon as the feast was over. They didn't get to the point where they were there for Yahweh. They were there for themselves. See? They weren't there to serve Almighty Yahweh. They were still thinking about the things that they had just stopped doing before sundown. He says, they are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. I have a lot of references there, and we'll deal with that another time. But right now, we want to deal with what was in the heart of the worshipers. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. That's what Yahweh wants. Learn to do well. Speak justice and relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. In other words, keep the third tithe. Do that which is right, and watch out for the fatherless and the widow. Come now, in verse 18, and let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. See, so we can choose which direction we're going to go in. Either we're going to keep that higher standard and enter into that covenant with Almighty Yahweh through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, or we're going to continue in our own way. Verse 21, how has the faithful city become a harlot? He's talking about Jerusalem that had the people of Yahweh who had entered into a covenant with Yahweh. How has the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Didn't Yahshua call the leaders of Israel murderers after their father, Satan the devil? They pleaded Moses, but he said, if you followed Moses, if you knew who Moses was, you would hear me. See? Because he taught them the law of Yahweh. He taught them the love of Yahweh. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follow after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come to them. In other words, they've stopped keeping the commandments. Therefore, says the sovereign Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease myself of my adversaries and avenge myself of my enemies. And I will turn my hand upon you and thoroughly purge away your dross, and will take away all your chin, and I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called a city of righteousness, a faithful town. Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and her converts with righteousness, because they're going to be keeping the commandments. They're going to be keeping the covenant of Almighty Yahweh. He says, but the destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake Yahweh shall be consumed. They're going to be consumed in the lake of fire. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and his work as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. See, the sinners against Almighty Yahweh are going to be consumed. They are not going to have a fruitful end. They're going to be in, they're going to end in the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we get closer to that memorial, that covenant renewal, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11. But in giving you this charge, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the assembly, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. But there must also be factions among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. When you therefore assemble yourselves together, it is not possible to eat the Master's Supper. It's not possible to keep the Passover. For in your eating, each one takes before the other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the assembly of Yahweh and put to shame? And put to shame which have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? And this I praise you not. For I receive of the Master that which I also deliver to you, that the sovereign Yahweh, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In like manner, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you shall proclaim the Master's death until he comes. In the Jewish faith and Jewish customs, it's called the Yahrzeit. Every year, people remember the day of one's death. Okay? And this is more important than celebrating your birthday. This is the day that we, our Yahrzeit for Yahshua's memorial is the Passover. And he said, do this as often as you remember. So this covenant that we enter into, we do once a year. And this covenant that we are partaking of is the body and blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And this is why he said, for I received of the Master that which I also delivered to you, that the sovereign Yahshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is something that we do every year, once in a year. We don't do it every once a month, once a week. We do it once a year. So he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Master's death until he comes. And like I said, we do this once a year. It's the Passover memorial. For he that drinks, Verse 27. Therefore, whoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of Yahshua in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of Yahshua. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks judgment to himself. And this is for each one who is not worthy take of the Passover memorial. If he discerns not the body, for this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. But if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by Yahweh, that we may not be condemned with the world. The world is being condemned to the lake of fire, because they have not entered into the covenant. They have not sought Yahweh. They have not sought a higher standard. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. That's why I told you we're going to be patient and wait and make sure everyone is together. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. That you're coming together, be not to judgment, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 to 3. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to themselves every man a lamb, according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. Now, the tenth day of this month, and we're about to keep the Passover, which is actually Tuesday, Monday night after sundown. So, actually, we were supposed to have chosen our lamb. Our lamb is Yahshua. And we have to truly know who we worship. We have to know the Lamb of Yahweh. That lamb we should know intimately. Because that lamb you chose on the 10th day of the month, you took that lamb to your home. That lamb became a pet. That lamb became very, very close to you and your family. Now, all of us should have chosen our lamb. Our lamb is Yahshua the Messiah. Luke chapter 22. And we'll start in verse 1. Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, or Pesach. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might put him to death, for they feared the people. Now, this is prior to the Passover. They're already plotting to put him to death. Who thinks of putting people to death? Those who are motivated by Almighty Yahweh, or those who are motivated by Satan the devil? Verse 3. And Satan entered into Judah, who was called Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went away and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might deliver him to them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. They made a covenant with him to give him money. And he consented and sought opportunity to deliver him to them in the absence of the multitude. See, so the plot thickens. There were things going on behind the scenes. But you see here, this is what I want you to see in Luke 22, verse 3, that Satan entered into Judah. Satan can't exist where the Holy Spirit dwells. So obviously Judah didn't have the Holy Spirit, you know, dwelling within him. Verse 7, and the day of unleavened bread came on which the Passover must be sacrificed. Actually, the Jews, when they do this, they look at it, they keep the feast actually on the 15th. Yet we're commanded to keep the Passover on the 14th, and the feast starts on the 15th. See, we have it separate. They keep it all together. Okay? Verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and make ready for us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said to him, where will you that we'll make ready. And he said to them, behold, when you have entered into the city, there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he goes. And you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished. There, make ready. And they went and found as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the apostles with him. And he said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of Yahweh. And he received the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I shall not drink from henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Yahweh shall come. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the cup, in like manner, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, even that which is poured out for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man through whom he is betrayed. Woe to whom the man through whom he is betrayed. And they began to question among themselves which of them was that should do this thing. Verse 24. This is a very critical time in Yahshua's ministry. It was a very critical time in the ministry at all. And verse 24 says, and there arose also a contention among them, which of them was accounted to be the greatest. So while Yahshua is dealing with this offering of himself and the passions in which he was dealing, his disciples have a contention among themselves, which is accounted to be the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles have rulership over them, and they that have authority over them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greater among you, let him become as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For which is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat, but I am among you as he that serves. And this is what Yahshua is trying to get them to grasp, to get them to understand. I'm about to die for you and the sins of the whole world. And you're fighting over who's the greatest. My children. Verse 28. It says, but you are they that have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint to you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But they were still carnal at that point. They hadn't reached that point where they had become spiritual. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. This is what Yahshua was talking about. Revelation 21, 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Those 12 foundations, the 12 thrones, is what he's saying. That they're going to be in the kingdom with him, ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. Turn back to Luke 22. verse 31. We saw in verse 3 in this passage that Satan entered into Judah. We know demons can possess people. They enter in. But that's only if they're allowed to. The Holy Spirit can keep that from happening. In verse 31, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you. He requested you, Simon. He wanted you, Peter, that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for you that your faith fail not. And that's what we're praying today, brethren, that we enter into a higher standard, that our faith would fail not. And do you, when you have once turned again, when you have teshuvah, when you've turned back, because he's telling Peter, you're going to fall. See, and Satan wants you. But once you have turned again, establish your brethren. And he said to him, Rabbi, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day until you shall three times deny that you know me. But Peter was telling him he's willing to go to jail to die for him. Yet Yahshua told him, you're going to deny me three times. Peter denied the Savior. What about us? Have we denied him by denying our brethren or our neighbor? Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Very familiar passage. Matthew 25. We'll start in verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or athirst and gave you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, since you did it to one of these my brethren, even these least did it to me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Gehenna. For I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison. And you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then shall he answer, saying, Truly, I say to you, since you did it not to one of these, the least, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See, Yahshua is seeking those that have a higher standard, that are willing to do that for our brethren or our neighbor. Matthew 18. Turn over to Matthew 18, 15. Even though Peter denied the Savior, he flipped the script. He did get back because Yahshua told him, when you return, when you teshuvah, when you come back, establish your brethren. Matthew 18, 15, it says, and if your brother sins against you, go, show him his fault between you and him alone. People have problems following direction. But the word of Yahweh says, alone. You and him alone. Okay? If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. Because sometimes people see crooked. They don't see what they're doing. It's hard for them to see when they're in sin. So sometimes you can bring it to their attention like Nathan did to David. And David saw it immediately. See? Nathan told him, you were the man. And David repented. He saw it was him. And if he refuses to hear, then tell it to the assembly, the administration. If he refuses to hear the assembly also, let him be to you as a Gentile and a publican, just another sinner. Truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, a lot of people think when it says whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever things that are loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. We're not going to heaven. No one's going to heaven. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming to this earth. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This thousand-year millennium is going to be right here on the earth. And then the New Jerusalem is coming down to the earth. See, this is where it's going to be, brethren. Now, verse 21, this is still a part of it. Keep this in mind. Then Peter came and said to him, Rabbi, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? And Yahshua says, to him, I say not to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Until 70 times seven. Yahshua told Peter, once you have turned again, establish your brethren for a reason. He told him, until 70 times seven. Turn to John chapter 21. Peter had been through some things, he had been over. He had seen the Holy Spirit come down upon the Gentiles. He'd realized some things. And John 21, 15, it says, so when they had broken their fast, Yahshua said to Simon, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Rabbi, you know that I love you. He says to him, feed my lambs. He says to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He says to him, yes, Rabbi, you know that I love you. He says to him, tend my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Rabbi, you know all things. You know that I love you. Yahshua said to him, feed my sheep. Why do you think he said to Peter three times, do you love me? Because Peter denied him three times, brethren.
Think about that higher calling. He told Peter, once you've established yourself, once you've teshuva, once you've turned again, these are the things I need you to do. See? He knew what Peter was going to do. And he knew. He told Peter. Turn over John chapter 20, verse 19. John 20, verse 19, which is just across the page if you have the Sacred Scriptures, Bethel edition. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Yahshua came and stood in the middle and says to them, Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed to them his hands at his side and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the teacher. Yahshua therefore said to them again, Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. And the Father has sent me even, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. To them, whose sins you retain, they are retained. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, brethren. And this power can do amazing things. He told Peter to establish his brethren once he had turned again. And Peter did just that until he had to turn over the bishop position to John before he had to leave because of the pressure, the persecution. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1. Peter had seen and walked with Yahshua. He was the leader of the apostolic assembly until he had to turn it over. But he went up and down. See? He went back and forth. He fell, but he was raised up again. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there is therefore any exhortation in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting the other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in the Messiah Yahshua, who existing in the form of Elohim, counted not on being in equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being fashioned, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And that's what we must do, brethren. We must become humble servants of Almighty Yahweh, becoming obedient even to death. Yes, the death of the torture stake. Therefore also Yahweh highly exalted him and gave to him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Yahshua every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is master of the glory of Yahweh the Father. For our final scripture, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. The 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 8. As we seek a higher standard in our lives, brethren, as we are trying to follow what Almighty Yahweh has called his people to, our standard of living, which is keeping the covenant. And that's keeping all of Yahweh's commandments. We can't pick and choose what it is we want to do. We have to keep all of the covenant. In verse 8, it says, but forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants all to come to repentance. But as the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burnt up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and righteousness, looking for and earnestly desiring the day of Yahweh, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight, and account that the long-suffering of our master is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unlearned rest, as they do also to other scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest, being carried away with the terror of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our sovereign and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Almighty Yahweh has called his people to a higher standard of living, in which is keeping his covenant. We all have to keep all of the commandments, this holy Sabbath, the high Sabbath. And all the others, like his clean food laws and the tithing, the first, second, and third time. With this, Almighty Yahweh is asking for us to seek that higher standard, to be a part of that kingdom to come, soon to come on this earth. Each of us, like Peter, have denied the Savior. But each of us can be called back to the bishop and director of our souls, Yahshua the Messiah. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek that higher standard and as you seek to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh soon to come. If you'd all rise at this time, we'll close with a word of prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, seeking, Father, a blessing on each and every one of your servants, each and every one of us that have committed ourselves to partaking of the Passover memorial. And Father, we ask those that do not have your Holy Spirit as of yet, that they would commit, receive the baptism by fire, and to receive the gift of your Holy Spirit to partake of the covenant, of the body and blood of Yahshua the Messiah. We know we have but a short time before Yahshua returns, and we ask, Father, that you would convict and that you would touch hearts and cause those that are truly seeking your face, that they would repent, they would teshuva, return to you, Father, according to your will, through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And it's in his holy name, Father, that we seek to be a part of your kingdom. We know that Yahshua's shed blood cleanses all our sins. So we ask, Father, that each one of us will receive a blessing. In Yahshua's name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.